Blog Talk Radio.
Alafia, greetings and hotep. Welcome to the Care to Read Room. You've got your Omiyinka 7 live coming to you straight from my studio. I'd like to welcome each and every one of you and say Habari Gani and happy Black History Month. This is our last day for celebrating for the year, some folks think, but we will continue throughout the year to celebrate this festive occasion. We'd like to welcome each and every one of you and ask you to lock that dial in at 646 478-0270. Keep that dial right there, Lil G. Keep it right there and lock it in. Now, this evening we will have our chat rooms open, so if you care to come in and be a part of our discussion, you're welcome to come into the chat room. Our celebration is of men and women in duality with Mr. and Mrs. Biggums. And we'd like for you to come in to talk to our guest this evening. We'll be talking about entrepreneurship and having a plan where the husband and the wife can accentuate on that plan. This is the best that we have to describe duality. As you know, we did talk about how important it was for women to pull the men up right along their side as they begin to rise in society. We cannot rise in a nation without having our counterpart with us. So that's what we're going to be talking about today, how women are rising in the profession and how women are advancing in the profession of law. As you know, we've been accentuating on the profession of law. We've been looking at how women cut through the bureaucracy. What are some of the challenges, not to mention the tuition that they're now trying to make a decision about reducing the tuition, which is at $150,000 a year. Now, think about dancing to the tune of that just to get a degree. But we're going to be talking to you in just a second as I go and say hello to our guests, and I'll meet you in the atmosphere in just a second. Hold tight.
Alafia.
Hello, caller number 215. How are you?
Alafia.
Oh, very well, thank you. Habari Gani.
Habari Gani to you, and happy Black History Month. Hopefully today we can do it justice in celebrating our ancestors and all of our heroes and sheroes. How are the two of you this evening?
Ashe.
If you don't mind participating with me, we do a ritual in this classroom, and we honor our ancestors because we're African-centristic. So I'm going to ask you if you have loved ones who have deceased and passed on, or your heroes and sheroes that you'd like to mention as we do the libation, then afterwards you can add those names, all right? So
okay.
I'm going to take a station identification. And we'll come right back to you, and we'll be ready to do that ritual in 1 second. Hold tight. Welcome back, family. You've got the Care to Read Room, and I am your Omi. I'm your Empress. I'm here to serve you, and I'm also your advocate here to serve you as well. We'd like to welcome you, ladies and gentlemen, and I'd like to introduce our guest to you before we do our libation. We have Mr. and Mrs. Brigham Herman Brigham and Lucy Brigham. The two of them are working together in economics and working together to create unity in the community. They're working on projects throughout the community. And one of the things I want to tell you is that they have united in the field of textile. Lucy is a textile service expert. And Henry comes to us by way of a background of working as an electrician. He is a businessman, an entrepreneur, and the two of them have collaborated their efforts to create, ladies and gentlemen. They have taken substance such as plastic to create beautiful apparel in the purse industry. They are also working on organic cotton to create organic cotton so that they can reproduce household goods such as fabric, towels, and sheets. And they will be able to tell you more about some of their adventures that they're working on currently. They're just returning back from Germany, and they will tell you all about the new adventures that they're working on. I've invited them here because they're working in duality, and I'd like for them to share their story with us in just a second. However, we're going to go over to the talking care room and do libation. And once we come back from libations, we will be able to talk directly to them. Now, if you'll stand to your feet in a position as if you're ready to receive as we do libation. And I like to pour libation to Ola Dulamon Ray, who is the highest force in our life, and would say Ashe.
Ashe.
I like to pour libations to my mother spirit, Yamanye, and I say Ashe.
Ashe.
I pour libations to Obatala, my father's spirit, and I say Ashe.
Ashe.
I pour libations to the north, and I say, Harriet, come from behind that tree, Moses, and put down your weapon. We're coming with you. I say Ashe.
Ashe.
I like to call on Sheikh Diop, and I pour libations to the west, and I say Ashe.
Ashe.
I like to call on Dr. Martin Luther King and his sweet wife, Coretta King, and I say Ashe.
Ashe.
I like to call on those ancestors like Nina Simone, who was in the struggle, and I say Ashe. Dr.
Ashe.
Columbus, Ashe.
Ashe.
I like to call on John Henry Clark, and I say Ashe.
Ashe.
And I will...
Yeah.
We'll call it again.
We'll see if she can pick us. Probably not. But Lyle didn't go dead.
Call her from another number.
Lucy, have you checked your email? Have you checked your email for Amazon? You need to check your email and see if they've contacted you, because they should have contacted us by now.
Oh, okay.
Pardon me, ladies and gentlemen, as we continue with our ritual and calling out our ancestors' names. Now, Lucy, as well as Herman, if you'd like to call out your ancestors' name and join me in celebrating our ancestors, you can do so. Hello? Okay.
Herman and Herman and Helen Bigham.
Ashe.
Wangoi and Cosmos Lau.
John G. Jackson.
Paul Lau.
Ramesh.
Mutinda Lau.
Ashe.
Mutuko and Rosemary Kinyanjue.
Ashe.
We'd
like to thank you. Thank you so very much for joining us in this ritual. And from time to time, we have a little technical difficulty, but that won't stop us. There's no stopping us. We'll continue on. Thank
Certainly.
You so much. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to welcome you into the Care to Read room. And this is the room where you can be sure that we are going to be acknowledging our ancestors and holding them in high esteem. And we ask that you will lock that dial in at 646-478-0270. Now, our chat rooms will be open for those of you who would like to chat in the background if you are not able to come in the room, but we invite you in. Now, I'm going to reintroduce our guests again, Lucy Bigham and Herman Bigham. Both of them are from the area of Pennsylvania. And by the way, Lucy is from Africa. She is a native of Africa, of Kenya, if I'm not mistaken. And they're going to tell you about their textile business and the work that they have been doing and their plans to advance and to develop a textile factory overseas. And these are things that all of us Africans who would like to become a sovereign nation should be thinking about, connecting ourselves with the UNIA and being a part of going back to the motherland to assist them and developing our country. So I will bring you Lucy and Herman Bigham, and you have the atmosphere. If you'll tell us a little bit about your adventure and all the things that you're doing, we certainly would love to hear from you.
Okay. Yes, thank you very much, Omi Yinka.
You're welcome.
This is truly an honor for us to be able to share our work and our pride all over the, you know, all over the U.S., I believe, since we are so far away. But anyway, just a little bit about what we are doing. We are working on a textile project in Kenya, reviving the textiles. But we see this as a venue of connecting people from here, our people from here, and people in Africa. The way we see this connection is that we have designers from here who, you know, set the trend, and they can work with producers who are very talented, tap into our traditional skills, and make products that are truly global.
Very good, very good. Now, Lucy, how long have you been in the profession of textile, and prior to deciding to create the purses, were you doing other textile work in your native country?
Yes, I've been in textiles since I left college. I majored in design in the University of Nairobi. I was invited to the U.S. to work with a renowned museum known as the Fabric Workshop and Museum. And I've been teaching inner-city kids, transferring you know, my skills to them within the Philadelphia area. But while I was doing that, I was traveling to Kenya every year to work with the community. I have extensive background in community development.
Now, when you came to the United States and presented your product, because it is truly one of the cutting-edge products dealing with the green, sustainable industry, how did you become interested in working with sustainability and reproducing these products, you know, from a substance that was creating waste in our community?
Well, you know, like I said, we've been traveling to Kenya every year, and our project is really about reviving the textile industries and making products that are sustainable and that can help the community. And while we were in Kenya, we found that the plastic bags, there was a big problem with the plastic bags. Here you don't see them because somebody comes, picks them up, but that doesn't mean that they're still not affecting the environment because they still end up in the landfills. Well, in Kenya, they're right at your doorstep. You see the streets littered, or you're able to even see the dump sites, they're open. And so we took that as an opportunity to fill in as material that we can use as we upgrade the skills of our people, as we strive to do that and strive to grow cotton, and we could use that material to do that. And bear in mind that the trend is going green. It's like history repeating itself. When, if you look at Africa, you think that what we have done, having a thatched roof, you know, thatched, I mean a roof made out of grass, which makes a lot of sense in terms of cooling down the place, or granary, the way we construct them. It looks, somebody may say it's primitive, but now we all want to go back to those methods
that
we call organic and green, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's the trend, and we're tapping. Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. That's okay, go ahead.
Yeah, so that's the trend. We are tapping it and, you know, putting it into perspective into the world of today, the world of now, what we call contemporary. Yeah.
Now, when you mention the sustainability, I know that there are quite a few countries who actually have the tropical weather are seeing the benefit of going with their solar energy homes and are basing those homes somewhere close to waterfronts where they can actually do the reservation right off the water so that they can also plant their food in the water, and at the bottom of their tanks they're actually schooling fish. So
yeah,
they're using a lot of sustainability. And right up here in Iowa, the whole Burdick City is set up. If you ever get a chance to go there, set up under a sustainability, and they're using solar energy, and they're using all of the things like you indicated to cool and to heat the home with natural sunlight, and that is definitely the way that most of the earth is going to have to go if we're going to sustain ourselves. But my question was, if you're taking and recycling the bags into apparel, so once you are done with them, or your customers are done with them, do they go back to creating waste in society, or do they dispose, once they're broken down, they're already disposed of so that they can't create this accumulation?
That's a very good question. And the two things that we are doing that are more than just the traditional recycling we know about, you take a paper bag and a plastic shopping bag and you reuse it and it still ends up in the trash, like you were saying. But our products are actually, we refer to them as upcycled, meaning that if you got one of our bags, it is actually probably going to outlive you before it goes back to the landfills or to littering anything, because they're very well structured and woven, that it will probably be an antique in the long run. One day, hopefully, we can be saying that this was a problem. This is what people in those days used, plastics, and something else has come up. So that is what we refer to as upcycle.
Okay.
The other good thing about our project is it's actually an intervention. When shoppers bring back their clean, used bags, we don't get the bags from the dump site. We make sure that it doesn't get to the dump site, or it doesn't get to the streets or to the gutter or to the landfills. So it is actually intercepted before it gets on the land. And so those two issues are very critical and you know, make our project and products very unique.
Now, what does this do for the community pride-wise, and also for the women who have an opportunity to participate in cooperative economics? Does this give them a way? I'm working on a project called Where Are Women Rising, and we're doing international work with women. So we already know, statistics shows that if a woman takes a job, 90% of her income gets recirculated into the community. So she literally is able to save the family and economically preserve the nation with her shopping and ability to recirculate her money. So how has the women working for you changed the community economic-wise?
Oh, yes. We say you empower the woman and you empower the community, correct. The two things is economical, and it's also just giving them the pride that they're now doing something with their time that can benefit the family. But beyond that, they have now materials readily available for them that they can use to generate income. So we don't really employ the women, but we engage them in economic activities where they would earn probably about $30 a week. But bear in mind that they're also putting in a lot of hours and time in the family chores and household chores. So they're earning, you know, more than just the $30 is an additional income that makes a big difference for them.
We've, you know, what we've done. Oh, go
okay,
ahead.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to
no,
say.
Go ahead.
What we've done is set up a national recycling program, a program that is pretty comprehensive, and it involves supermarkets, major supermarkets like Walmarts and Tuskegee's and Walmarts and, you know, Kmarts and et cetera that would be here. We've gotten them to buy into our project. We've gotten the EPA of Kenya to buy into the project. We've gotten schools and et cetera and communities to buy into, one, changing the mindsets of people in regards to their communities and letting them know that this material that has been a nuisance and a health problem can be turned into something that provides income and it can be removed, you know, removed as a waste product and turned into something that is a source of income. For example, in rural communities, they used to burn the plastic because the plastic was infiltrating their water systems. It was cutting off the sewers. It was causing more mosquitoes. It was blocking the sewers and causing, you know, flooding. It was killing the plants. It was also causing animals to die because animals would eat it and then they would die. So they were actually burning it. Now they're collecting it and, you know, making product. We set up the project in a manner that that people can be trained pretty rapidly. We've trained over 200 people in this project. Mm-hmm. And,
now, are they all trained in Africa, in the motherland, or any of
yes,
those people
Kenya.
Trained in the U.S.?
In Kenya. Yeah, this is the project is currently based in Kenya. So we have trained, over 200 people that we're able to employ through the project. We were able to maintain traditional skills that were not being utilized because the traditional skills that they have are fantastic, but they really wasn't a specific significant market for the products they had been making. So we've now created a product that has a, you know, world market potential. And so that has dramatically changed their lives. Also, we set up a system where women don't have to leave their homes. They don't have to get on the bus at 4 o'clock in the morning and go to a crowded city. They can stay at home, handle their lives, work, their families, you know, interest, and at the same time, you know, produce products in the comfort of their own home, in their own community, around there, and with in conjunction with their neighbors, and produce these products, and then, you know, and be paid for the products that they have produced. We then take the bags.
How would that system work for, now I don't know how things are operated in Africa, if they're independent contractors or they're considered as W-2s. How is that applicable to the United States? How would you call them, cottage homes? workers.
Oh, you could call it a cottage industry sample. You know, that's probably the best way to describe it. You know, basically what you're doing is allowing people to live their lives. You're allowing them to have the greatest benefit of their own time and utilize their time as it is best suited for them. Like, for example, you know, there's crop seasons where there's, you know, where they're picking particular crops, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, what we do with them does not infringe upon their having the greatest opportunity, you know, to provide livelihood and manage their homes. So it is actually a win-win in that regard. And plus, what they're able to achieve through production of these products, you know, represents five times basically as much as they would earn normally during a week. So, you know, it's been a very and plus the opportunity to utilize and share and maintain the traditional skills.
And, you know, you're talking about duality. The nice thing about the program is that we're also engaging young people, young men. We have found that, yes, you empower a woman and the woman carries the, you empower the community because, but then at the same time, you don't want to divide and have them, you know, that they feel, that the men feel left out. And we have found that, actually, it even just happened by default because you find that many men are the ones who do most of the finishing of the bags. They're the ones who run the, you know, the machine or whatever. So that has worked very well because then you engage everybody. And if you're talking in terms of sustainability, the emphasis that Harman is putting is that they can tap into the resources within where they live. They don't have to go anywhere else. We're not looking out from the outside. So that
now,
is actually very sustainable.
Do you see that as a wave of the future for, I know that's a wave of the future for the way that we're looking at new jobs here in the United States. We're no longer looking at the 8 to 5. We're looking at with the flexible schedule. And looking at trying to do shift work, sharing jobs. Now, how do you see that transferring over to the United States? Because, as you know, America is hurting for jobs, too. Most of their jobs have gone offshore. How do you see that as being applicable here in the United States? And is there any current plans to bring your factory to the United States? And also, do you have any boutiques here in the United States currently?
Do you want to go ahead?
Yeah, okay. One, the name of the project is called Creating Recycled Treasures. The name of the company is Tasheka Textiles. And we're based here in the U.S. as a LLC and also in Kenya. We're a social enterprise. What we're looking to do, we're already employing people here in the U.S. through this project, and we're in retail, and we're and products could be sold through, are being sold through our website and Etsy. What we're looking to do is be able to build the product line so that certain products, so that a certain base of the product can be produced in environments like Kenya, where the labor-intensive portion, the handmade labor-intensive portion could be made in Kenya, and the finishing could be done here in the U.S. So we're already looking into equipment and the opportunity to employ people here in the U.S. through that means. So that is, you know, probably the most significant way. Also, the product line. So, you know, we're started out just making high fashion bags. That in itself is really unusual because most you see very little in the way of high fashion products coming out of Africa historically. In you know recently, you see you know more kind of handcraft products. We've taken you know handcraft to you know to a high fashion level, and also the way we present our product. We present the product into the market as a extraordinarily extraordinary high fashion product. Those are the things that we've done that have. Go on.
I agree with you. The product is vibrant. It's very colorful. I really think it's something that catches the eye. Now, Herman and Lucy, tell me a little bit more about the cotton. How did the cotton fit into this project, and is that to create more sustainable products that you could make available to other companies who need these kind of supplies, or are you making the cotton with an intention of using them in another project that you're going to be having later on?
Well, the cotton, the way we started the, actually we initially started with the cotton because we're looking to revive the cotton industry in Kenya. We had about 52 mills before the early 90s, maybe about 23 ginneries, and they all collapsed because of, the being flooded with used clothing from the Western world. So, like the clothes you send to Salvation Army or people collect used clothing. They were shipped to Kenya, and so the local textile mills could not compete with the imported clothing. And now the government is looking to, so that actually maybe something like 200,000 households in the early 90s lost their income, just like now how we are suffering in the U.S. All the jobs have been outsourced, so, many people are losing their incomes. And so the government is looking to revive that industry, and because I'm from a textile background, I thought, that would be a good venue to go through. And I think I've lost my track.
I can help you. So Lucy's background Lucy has a master's in international development, and the textile industry. This is also some years ago she had a business in Kenya in which she produced textiles for hotels and for designers, for fashion shows, et cetera, et cetera. So this is not new to her. This is, and in Kenya and in Africa in general, there's very little domestically developed high quality textiles. Very, very little. So there's a huge opportunity and a tremendous void when it comes to being able to find and purchase those items. And if you do, you purchase them at a huge premium. So, and
now, I said that you have two different type of the high-end and also for the local woman for purchasing. I think that's a good idea because then you serve two different classes. Now, our time is almost up on us, Mr. Biggums and Mrs. Biggums. However, I would definitely like to reserve more time to talk with you in more detail about this and let the general public know. And if you choose to come back again and join us, we certainly would put up some time for you. I'd like to thank you so very much for talking to us about your product and the entrepreneurism and duality. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a prime example of a man and woman working together in partnership. As you can see, they're rising together. They're advancing themselves together in the States and also abroad in Africa, and possibly soon to be in other countries like Germany. I'm so proud of this couple that I
so
saw
much.
Their videotape, and I was overwhelmed by what I saw and what black men and women can do together.
Absolutely.
I think if somewhere along the line we sit down with this couple and talk to them about how couples can come up with a plan under sustainability, there will be so many more projects such as in the cotton industry. They could probably tell us the cotton chicken soup about growing our kids' cotton.
Yes, let us provide your audience with our website so we can share that with them. Our website is www.tosheka, that's T-O-S-H-E-K-A, designs.com. That's toshekadesigns.com. That will provide you access to us, our project information, both on the cotton and the recycling project. Also, our products are available there for purchase. And we look forward to your getting emails and your communications.
You can also write to us on internship. If anybody is interested, we'll be having an internship program this summer, and we've had students from Wharton, Michigan State, UArts, Philadelphia come to Kenya and work with the community.
And again, our website is www.
Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
We've had students from Wharton School of Business,
mm-hmm,
in Pennsylvania, uh-huh, Michigan State, and
is Hershey University in Pennsylvania also?
I don't think so.
I think it is.
It is?
Yes, just to go, yeah, because it's a Hershey PA.
I grew up in Pennsylvania, and I do remember Hershey, and my
brother was
a college in Meadville, Pennsylvania. I don't know if you guys do you know what Meadville, Pennsylvania is.
there's a lot of really smaller
mm-hmm
schools like Gwinnett Mercy. So that's Tosheka Textiles.
Tosheka Textiles
is the name of the company.
I typed it on the billboard so that
mm-hmm
they can actually go back and have the address there for the actual website. But I didn't have the address to put on there, so they can go to your website, and all that information is certainly on there, and I did type it on your webpage.
Oh, fabulous. Well, good. We look forward to hearing from your audience.
Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Ladies and gentlemen, please go out and take a look. I do have some of the bags on the webpage and a little bit of information about them, and also a listing of Lucy's letter, her hello letter introduction. So you can go out and take a look at that. And what I want you most to understand is we're celebrating women rising and men rising at the same time. This is a celebration, though we may not act like it is. It's a celebration of our duality. And I want you to know that not just this particular show, but we're going to continue to talk about us opening up our own business and having entrepreneurism throughout the state, because there are no longer any jobs here for us. We're going to have to create from our own and reinvent, and duality working together. Don't you think so, Herman?
Absolutely, no question.
Absolutely, yes, thank you.
And Lucy, we thank you so very much for being a part of our show, and we're going to play a little music to tell you that we are winners, and we know we're going to the top. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. Listen to We Are Winners.
Y'all ready?